We are in our Bio Summer Sermon Series, and I am so excited to welcome to the platform with me Pastor Kase and Pastor Paul Vunileva. For those of you who might be here for the first time, in the summer, we tell stories because we believe that the Holy Spirit is at work among us, and we can learn so much from each other's stories. As Jesus told the man that he freed, he said, go home and tell your story. And so you have come to this place to tell your story, and I'm so grateful we first met. We both came here to Lost Hair around the same time, end of 2019. And I remember the very first service coming back from COVID, I was looking back at my text messages and I texted Kase, can you help? You signed up, volunteered to help. Back then we didn't know each other. But it's been such a gift to get to know both of you and see your faith as you first approached Pastor Icky and myself and the pastoral team about planting a Tongan church here starting as a Sabbath school a couple years ago. You're going to tell some of that, but I've been so blessed by your story, and thank you so much for sharing with us today.
Amen. Good morning, Last Year. Happy Sabbath. All right, my mic on? I'm good. All right, you're on, baby.
God is good.
All the time.
And all the time.
God is good.
I was telling Pastor Raywin, it's hard to not preach, so we're going to figure this out together this morning. Amen?
Amen.
When Paul and I take a look back over our lives together, searching for the threads that weave our chapters into a single narrative, there is one word that captures our journey more than any other. That word is faithfulness. But let me be very clear, from the very beginning, I'm not talking about our faithfulness to him. I'm talking about God's radical, unwavering, and overwhelming faithfulness to us. Paul and I graduated from Andrews Theological Seminary in May of 2005 with our Masters of Divinity. Being only the second and third people of Tongan descent to earn a Master's of Divinity. I would be the first woman of Polynesian and Tongan descent to cross the stage with an MDiv.
Praise the Lord. Amen.
When Paul and I began our journey together as a couple, we didn't have a grand 20-year master plan. There was no strategy behind what we were going to do. There was not a map of what we were going to do or where we would be. We simply wanted to serve Jesus. Amen. And our prayer back then was simple. Lord, make us faithful wherever you open the door.
That's right.
Paul and I were actually married right here on these steps.
That's right.
Amen. In the December of 2007. One of the greatest, most profound gifts. Amen. He was very happy that day.
Hallelujah.
As was I. One of the greatest and most profound gifts God entrusted to us was our family. He blessed us with our two children, Sonatane and Otoota. And they have brought us immeasurable joy, kept us grounded, and continually remind us of what truly matters in life. But as we walked with God, we quickly realized that his definition of family was much wider than our own. Over the years, God began expanding our household in the most unexpected, beautiful ways. To date, more than 35 young people have lived under our roof. Some of them came to stay for a few weeks, others ended up staying for months, and still some have stayed for years. Every single one of them became our children. Every one of them has become part of our family.
That's right.
Through the years, we have learned a fundamental lesson about the gospel. Ministry doesn't only happen behind a polished pulpit on Sabbath morning.
That's right.
It doesn't only happen within the structured walls of a classroom. More often than not, real life-changing ministry happens around a crowded dining table.
That's right.
It happens through late-night conversations over dirty dishes. through shared meals, spontaneous laughter, heavy tears, and the simple sacred act of creating space where broken and lonely people know, without a shadow of a doubt, that they belong.
Amen.
Our official ministry began in the fields of Arkansas. Paul serving as a youth pastor at the Gentry Seventh-day Adventist Church, and I as the chaplain at Ozark Adventist Academy. Those early years were a training ground. They shaped our fundamental understanding of what it means to lead God's people. It was there that we planted our very first church, the Compass Adventist Fellowship Group. As we navigated the beautiful, sometimes messy dynamics of life and church, we discovered a truth that would guide the rest of our careers. Leadership is never about titles. It's never about position, status, or authority. Leadership is entirely about serving people well. Washing their feet, helping them discover the divine purpose that God has already placed deep within them. After those foundational years in Arkansas, God led us on a brief but meaningful assignment to Louisiana, serving at the Baton Rouge Seventh-day Adventist Church, further preparing our hearts for the massive horizon he was about to reveal. In 2012, the call came to move to Denver, Colorado. This season would become a whirlwind of divine acceleration. Paul stepped in to pastor the Littleton Seventh-day Adventist Church, while I was handed the immense privilege of serving as the principal of Mile High Academy. We arrived ready to work, but we were completely unprepared for the sheer scale of what God was about to do. Under Paul's leadership, weekly attendance didn't just organically grow, it erupted, jumping from a faithful 99 people to just over 300 active worshipers in less than 1 month. And the miracles didn't stop with attendance. Driven by a unified, contagious vision for the community, the financial landscape of our church shifted entirely. In less than a year, annual tithing miraculously surged from $215,000 to just above $1 million. That wasn't just a statistical victory. Those dollars represented a massive engine that fueled a local ministry actively transforming lives every single day.
Amen.
Simultaneously, we watched God make the impossible happen at Mile High Academy. The school desperately needed a home, a place to grow. God would prompt me to stop by a school with a for sale or for lease sign on October 2nd of 2014. I would take a look at the school building and pray a very simple prayer. God, if you are for this, who can be against us?
That's right.
In less than 2 weeks, God poured out his provision. He provided $10.5 million to purchase and relocate the academy to a breathtaking 15-acre campus.
Hallelujah.
But that miracle didn't stop with the purchase. We undertook a massive $2.5 million remodel and completely opened the doors to a newly remodeled school facility in a record-shattering 9 months. It was logistically impossible, a miracle that only the hand of God could have orchestrated.
That's right.
That entire Colorado journey burned a lesson into our souls. When God gives a vision, he will always provide the provisions needed to accomplish his purpose.
That's right.
He does not call you to a place to abandon you.
Come on.
But life with God is a landscape of both mountaintops and valleys. While he blessed us with these incredible, highly visible successes, he was about to show us his faithfulness in a completely different environment. The dark and quiet rooms of suffering.
Mercy.
In 2018, our world was completely upended. Paul received a devastating diagnosis, stage 5 kidney failure. And almost overnight, our fast-paced life of church growth and school building ground to a halt. It was replaced by the grueling, exhausting reality of chronic illness. This marked the beginning of an endless cycle of countless hospital visits, procedure after procedure, continuous lab work, needles, a mountain of medications, and a calendar completely dominated by doctor appointments. Nice. As Paul's physical health began to visibly decline, we found ourselves facing an incredibly painful crossroad. We had to make the heart-wrenching decision to leave Colorado. We left the ministry we loved, the community of deep friends we had built, and the work we were so proud of. And we chose to transition to La Sierra here in California. The move was entirely driven by survival. Paul's parents and his four brothers lived here, and we desperately needed his family nearby. Paul had gone from being a vibrant, deeply active people person, a pastor who thrived on visiting and on community, to being trapped at home alone while I went to work. The isolation was breaking his morale, and we needed a village to help keep him alive. We moved to California without jobs and faith. But even in the unemployment, even in the geographic transitions, we held on to the conviction that the God who provided in Denver would continue to be faithful to our family in California. Amen. I officially resigned from my position in the fall of 2019, and our children enrolled at La Sierra Academy. Amen?
Amen.
Then came January of 2020. We scheduled what we were told was a completely routine, simple procedure to place a fistula in Paul's arm for upcoming dialysis or continuing dialysis treatments. I remember sitting in the waiting room, quiet and relaxed. The surgeon had confidently told us that Paul would be in and out of the operating room in just 45 minutes. He even noted that the pre-op prep and the post-op recovery would take slightly longer than the surgery itself. So I waited. But 45 minutes passed, then 2 hours passed, then 3 hours, and after 5 hours, the double doors of the surgical unit swung open. The lead surgeon stepped out, and the look on his face told me everything. The medical team urgently called my name. They pulled me aside to deliver words that felt like thank you. I brought some with me, but I'm a crier, sorry. Felt like a physical blow. Paul's heart had stopped, and after getting it started again, Paul could not breathe on his own. He was in a coma. They told me he would not be going home and that I needed to gather our family immediately. For 4 days, it was completely touch and go. Paul hung precariously between life and death. But in that darkness, an incredible movement of prayer began. Thousands and thousands of prayers ascended. Prayer vigils were formed spontaneously across the country. Friends, former church members, students, and families surrounded us in a wall of intercession, begging God for Paul's recovery. And by the absolute, undeniable grace of God, Paul opened his eyes.
Praise the Lord.
Amen. But waking up was not the end of the trial. It was merely the beginning of a completely new mountaintop to climb. Paul had to learn to live all over again. The physical toll of that medical crisis was severe. Over time, Paul has lost all but 2% of his eyesight. Nice. He's lost his ability to walk independently. He's lost the physical autonomy he has known his entire life.
But I can still see you, baby.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. You better see me. I'll be completely honest with you. Watching a person you love struggle, someone who's been a vibrant leader, face these moments, these daily challenges, is a grief that sometimes I just don't have the vocabulary to share. Yes, it was precisely in those broken places, in those sterile hospital corridors and dialysis clinics, that we discovered the deepest truth of the gospel. God's grace is not a theological concept.
That's right.
It is a literal sustaining force. His grace truly is more than enough. Today's Paul's physical health remains a challenge. We're currently navigating the complex process of seeking to be placed on the kidney transplant list again. But if you sit across from Paul today, you will quickly realize something profound. Though his physical eyes can no longer see, his spiritual vision has become sharper than it ever has been. Praise God for his absolute faithfulness.
Amen.
Paul's life continues to be a daily reminder to us that our temporary earthly circumstances do not and cannot define the goodness of God.
That's right.
That valley season transformed us forever. It stripped away the superficial. It deepened our faith. It forged an unbreakable strength in our marriage and reminded us that the real ministry is never measured by what we accomplish for God, but by how faithfully Jesus carries us through every changing season of life.
Amen.
When we arrived in 2019, we began serving as lay leaders at the Los Angeles Tongan Seventh-day Adventist Church. Even in the midst of Paul's health challenges, he continued to faithfully preach twice a month and wherever he was invited. At the same time, God has continued to open unexpected doors in my own professional ministry. Through the Bainham Family Foundation, I have the privilege of developing and coaching leaders while helping strengthen Adventist education across North America.
Amen.
More recently, I've been serving as the CEO of the Southwest Region Conference Education System, helping build a collaborative network of schools that equips students, develops leaders, and creates thriving school communities. That brings us to today. You think I'm an educator and I'm stumbling all over my words this morning, I apologize. And every time I do it, I'm like, check, okay. Shortly after moving to California, God placed a burden on our hearts for a Tongan English congregation in the Riverside area.
Amen.
A place where culture and generations could worship together, grow in faith, and find a place to belong. After much prayer, God's clear leading, and the support of our pastoral leadership team, we planted La Sierra Tonga in 2025 with a simple vision: belong, believe, and become. Today, we continue to serve together through the La Sierra Tonga group, a group that is committed to figuring out how to live this life together as a community. We strive to reach those who do not have a faith community and work with our youth and young adults to practice serving our Riverside community. Thank you for supporting this work and our journey as part of our larger church family here at the La Sierra University Church. Whether God calls us to serve in affluent boardrooms, in school hallways, in local church pews, or simply around our own dining room table, our prayer remains completely unchanged. That every person who crosses our path would encounter the authentic love of Jesus, find a place where they truly belong, and discover the magnificent divine purpose he has designed for their lives. As we stand before you today and reflect on the entirety of this journey, from the church plants in Arkansas to the millions of dollars in Denver, through the comas and the loss of sight here in California, we see a masterpiece of God's faithfulness.
Amen.
He was entirely faithful when the doors swung wide open in prosperity. He was equally faithful when the doors slammed shut in suffering. He was faithful in the moments of public celebration, and he was deeply, intimately faithful in the private seasons of intense heartbreak. And if there is one universal lesson we have learned across all these years, it is this: when ordinary, broken people simply place their lives completely into the hands of an extraordinary God, he will always, always do infinitely more than we could ever think to ask or dare to imagine.
Nice.
For that truth, and for every single tear, there have been many. And for every beautiful chapter of our story, we give him all the praise, all the glory, and all the honor.
And that, family, this morning in a nutshell, is God's goodness and God's faithfulness to not only me and my wife, but to our little family. And before we pass the baton to our preacher to bring us home this morning, we solicit your prayers, yet even now, because I am still in need of a kidney. But as we have heard and as we have witnessed this God in being faithful to us in the mountaintop, by his grace and his mercy alone, may that same God be faithful to you and I, even in the midst of life storms. And as we solicit your prayers, we have gained a couple thousand new friends this morning. Amen?
Amen.
Not just here physically in the house of the Lord, but thousands more who are watching online. Please continue to keep us in prayer. And I know from experience that God will bring this to fruition and bring Pastor Paul a kidney to continue to serve him, not just on the seventh day of the week from a pulpit, but as my wife has spoken about this morning, daily in each of our lives. May that same God be high and lifted up in his name is our prayer in Jesus' name.
Amen. Amen.
Please stand with me for the reading of the word. Second Corinthians 12, 8 to 10. Three times I appeal to the Lord about this, that it would leave me. But he said to me, my grace is sufficient for you, for power is made perfect in weakness. So I will boast all the more gladly of my weaknesses, so that the power of Christ may dwell in me. Therefore, I am content with weaknesses, insults, hardships, persecutions, and calamities for the sake of Christ. For whenever I am weak, then I am strong. The word of God. You may be seated. Thank you so much, Pastor Paul, Pastor Kase, for sharing your story of God's faithfulness in the mountaintop of success in pastoral ministry, as well as in the dark valley of suffering. The Apostle Paul also experienced God showing up in these ways. Paul had planted churches in Philippi, Thessalonica, Corinth, and Ephesus. And Paul had seen these churches explode so much so that it was impacting negatively the trade for the silversmith in Ephesus. Paul had run a major fundraising campaign, raising money to support the church in Jerusalem that was going through a hard time. But now, as the Apostle Paul writes to the church in Corinth, a church he had started and a church he had stayed with for a year and a half, Paul is facing personal attack. People he sarcastically calls super apostles are taking over the church. Paul says they're preaching a different Jesus, a different gospel, in a different spirit. They're taking money from the church, which Paul had chosen not to do, and they're criticizing him directly. Notice what he says that they say in 2 Corinthians 10, verse 10. His letters are weighty and strong, but his bodily presence is weak and his speech contemptible. In other words, Paul's critics say that he's weak physically and he's a terrible speaker. So Paul says, you say that I'm weak? I'm going to show you weak. Guess what I've gone through? In chapter 11 of 2 Corinthians, he lists some of his trials. He says, 5 times I've been beaten with 39 lashes. 39 lashes because 40 was supposed to kill you. 5 times, Paul says. 3 times I was beaten with rods. Once I was stoned and left for dead. 3 times I was shipwrecked. Paul said he's faced hunger and danger from every side. He had been thirsty and cold for the sake of the gospel. Paul says, you want to say I'm weak? Let me talk about being weak. Paul says he has had wonderful revelations from God. He's seen visions, but he's not going to boast about them. No, he's going to boast about his weaknesses. And he shares something that has kept him humble, he said. He calls it a thorn in the flesh or a messenger from Satan. The word, the thorn in the flesh, it's literally a stake or a spike in his flesh. Now, for a couple thousand years, people have debated, what is he referring to? It could have been low vision, like our pastor Paul here. And there's some clues in the text, perhaps. When he writes to the church in Galatia, to the Galatians, he says, you would have plucked out your eyes and given them to me, your very eyes. You loved me that much. And at the end of that letter, he says, see what large letters I'm writing in my very own hand, because the Apostle Paul normally had a scribe that would write the letters and he would dictate. So some have thought it was that. Others have thought perhaps when he talks about a messenger from Satan or the thorn in the flesh, perhaps he's referring to these very super apostles that are opposing him, or perhaps he's talking about some kind of internal struggle, perhaps with depression or with despair. I believe that Paul is deliberately not telling us what that thorn in the flesh or that messenger from Satan is. Paul is deliberately vague, using ambiguous language, because he wants, instead of us to focus on what his thorn was, he would like us instead to focus on what it is that Jesus said to him. And this is it. My grace is sufficient for you, for power is made perfect in weakness. When we were talking, Pastor Kase, you said that God said to both of you, live with it and lead with it. Live with it, lead with it. My grace is sufficient for you. My power is made perfect in weakness. The Apostle Paul said, just like Jesus at Gethsemane, he prayed 3 times that God would take it away from him. And like Jesus, he kept going. Only by God's grace. Pastor Kase, you wrote these words. It was precisely in those broken places, in those sterile hospital corridors and dialysis clinics, that we discovered the deepest truth of the gospel. God's grace is not a theological concept. It is a literal sustaining force. His grace truly is more than enough. How can Pastor Paul and Pastor Kase say that? How can the Apostle Paul say that? It's because they found the power of Christ living inside of them, living inside of us. They have found a strength to keep going that was outside of themselves. And they found that strength when the church was exploding and the funds were growing. Can you tell us exactly how we can expand our membership 3 times and our tithe by 4? I think Pastor Devo, Pastor Icky would like to know how to do that. They could give us a technique, but the point is they don't have a technique. Somehow God just opened the doors and they were there and they were faithful and God exploded the church there. They found a strength when the church was exploding and the funds were growing, and they found a strength when their health was imploding and their lives were changing. It's the same strength of Jesus. And so today, I have a question for you. Have you found that strength? When you feel weak, When you're going through whatever it is that you're going through today, maybe you feel unable to handle this incredible opportunity, incredible challenge that you have. Or sometimes even the best things in life can stress us out and make us feel weak. Or maybe you are facing something incredibly difficult, an illness, a broken relationship, a challenge that you just don't know how to see through. Whatever it is that you're facing today, Jesus said, as he appeared to the Apostle Paul, as he appeared to Pastor Paul and Pastor Kase, as he has told me many times, my grace is enough for you. You're weak this morning. Jesus says, get ready to experience my power, my strength. Amen.